I'm Devon.
And I'm Clay.
Welcome to MVP Podcast, also known as Most Valuable Photography Podcast.
2023 was here.
And now it's gone.
or is it?
Right.
Yeah, it's been a year. I guess it's been the first full year since the pandemic that we weren't pandemicking.
It's starting back up again, though. So
it is, but nobody cares. So I mean, COVID is still a thing, but nobody cares. Mm-hmm. Nothing's shutting down. Nothing's closing. So it's like, yes, COVID is still a thing, but it's just that. It's just a thing now. I mean, you're not getting any days off of work. You know, you can't. It's not like, you know, we're not, like I was saying, we're not pandemicking. I'm coining that phrase. You know, it's been the first, I guess, new normal year since 2020. You know, because it was the first year I think like everything came back and I didn't see anything get canceled due to COVID.
True.
So like every like all events were going on. Mm-hmm. Travel's back. Mm-hmm. You know, large and small events are a thing, and I didn't see anything, especially over the holiday season. And like you said, you know, there's been a lot of cases of COVID. I mean, it ran through my household. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this whole December holiday season, and a lot of people I know, and in my son's school had COVID, but like nothing stopped. Mm-hmm. Like everything continued to go on. So I think that's the new normal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where it's the new flu.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I feel like. It's like, you know, we're treating it like the flu.
Yeah.
Yeah. We all knew there would be a new normal when things got back to normal.
Mm-hmm. So, as normal as they can be, yes.
Yeah. I mean, it's a relative term, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know what the new normal is. But I think 2023 was definitely the year of AI and the fear of AI.
Yeah.
I think this was the year that AI took a giant leap forward, and we are starting to see the potential and mm-hmm. the fact that we've just scratched the surface of, you know, what the capabilities of AI are is, exciting and a little bit scary.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I guess using it for good. If you look at all the good aspects, it's amazing.
Yeah.
The things we'll be able to do easier and faster and, you know, that sort of thing. Things that were once a chore will no longer be a chore.
Indeed.
I think it's like the smartphone 10.0.
Yeah.
You know, of where cell phones started and what you're able to do with the cell phone today.
Mm-hmm.
Is amazing. It just took longer.
True.
It took much, much longer to get to this point than it will with AI. I think AI will get much better, much faster.
Mm-hmm.
But like, you know, if you look at what you could do with a cell phone in 2000 compared to what you can do with a cell phone in 2023, 2024, absolutely. You know, you're walking around with, you know, a small computer that's better than the best computer probably that was out at the time.
At the time, absolutely.
You know, that has like, you know, built-in Wi-Fi. That wasn't a thing. Mm-hmm. Like you had to plug in.
Mm-hmm. Still isn't a thing in a lot of laptops, right? The majority of laptops don't have built-in Wi-Fi. And yet you have that on
That's true.
Cell phone.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, having the cellular technology and just all the things you can do with the technology that's available today, I think it's the same way. You got to kind of look at AI and where it's going. Mm-hmm. For me, from a photographer, a professional photographer standpoint, what it's allowed me to do is, turn over work much faster. Mm-hmm. You know, the tasks that used to take a lot of time, now is done in, you know, seconds or fractions of a second sometime. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's like instant. So, you know, for me, I'm like, oh, this is great. There was the whole fear of it's going to take over photography. You know, people are just going to use AI generated, stuff. And I think there's certain aspects of human interaction and human input that you can't replace with a machine. Mm-hmm. You can get close.
Yeah.
But we'll still know that this was machine generated.
True.
You know, it's getting better and better. And, you know, the biggest thing I saw is that, you know, a lot of companies stop, using influencers. They just created, AI generated models, mm-hmm. and just put their products in the photos. And for the most part, they look like, they look like the influencers. Absolutely. And I guess since the influencers go to great extent to make themselves up and look fake. It was easy to replicate, like, what an influencer would look like.
To begin with.
You know? Yeah. I mean, like, I think that's the, you know, the problem with the filters and everybody using like a filtered look or a retouched look. That's easy to duplicate with AI, you know, because that's what it looks like. It looks like a perfect person.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah, we're, I'm not afraid. I'm looking forward to what it's going to bring. And I think just like anything else, we'll have to adapt to it. Absolutely. Because I'm old enough to remember, when computers started to enter offices and people are like, the computers are taking over our jobs. You know, oh, they're just going to replace you with a computer. And I think that's the thing that's going on now where people are like, AI is going to take over. Like, it's going to be able to do everything. And, yes and no. Yes mm-hmm. and no. I mean, we still, we're still in control.
Mm-hmm. For now.
At this point.
There's an augmentation that's going to happen, and people need to embrace augmentation.
Yeah. I mean, I think I think people being educated on AI mm-hmm. will keep it safe. You know, I think when everybody kind of turns their nose to it and everybody's ignorant about it, it's easy for those that want to manipulate the system, and we won't even see it coming because you're not educated on it. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, yeah, there's a lot happening. Some of the stuff that we're doing, I don't know if we need it, you know, mm-hmm. you know, like they're going to have AI everything, you know. It's kind of like when pumpkin spice comes around in the fall. It's like, we don't need pumpkin spice everything, and we don't need AI everything.
Yeah, like, very true.
I remember there was a time where everything had pomegranate in it. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. We don't need to stick AI in everything just because we're able to. True. But I think this was definitely a year of AI becoming a... normal term that everybody's using.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But any big takeaways from this year?
From this year? I mean, I'm with you. Definitely AI was the thing that everyone was, you know, looking at the potential for saving the future and also looking at the potential for tearing it down. The pandemic, I thought people were going to take more seriously than they did. There are people who I see with masks in the store, and I'm like, wow, they are, you know how they say the last time around people without masks were the crazy ones. No, it's like the people with the masks look like the crazy ones.
The smart ones, right?
Yeah. It's like the, it's like those commercials, the Steve Jobs, the Apple commercials that, you know, here's to the crazy ones, right? The ones who were daring enough to go against the grain. And, yeah, I mean, the thing is that Using AI is not going against the grain. Not using AI is going against the grain. And I think people just need to figure out how they can make it fit into their lives and help it, help augment whatever they're doing. Like you're doing a great job at embracing it and saying, well, guess what? I need to make money. And this helps me make money. So therefore, I will use it.
Yeah, I think, it's not going anywhere.
Right.
Right.
Absolutely.
You know, and, your favorite company, Adobe, has, been at the, I don't know if they were at the forefront because there were other smaller companies that were doing, AI before, right. way before Adobe was doing it. I think Adobe has just implemented it better.
They got money.
I think because they're just a bigger company.
Absolutely.
You know,
they're smart people.
Yeah. There's, you know, I know how much you love them and their products and their business model. But yeah, I think there's space for it mm-hmm. in the creative, in this creative lane.
Yeah.
And I think once we learn to embrace it, and use it, it'll be good. I think it's like everything else. When something's new and people start to use it and abuse it, it starts to look really bad, really fast. Mm-hmm. You know, because I can see people doing like the AI generated backgrounds, mm-hmm. but you still need to know things about, perspective.
Yes.
And making sure the lighting is coming from the right direction. Like you don't have like two suns in your picture. Yeah. it's a lot of things that,
unless that's what you're aiming
still
for.
Need to know. Yeah. I think you still need to know a lot of the creative and technical aspects that yes. I think, if you don't, your pictures are going to look crazy. Mm-hmm. So I think we don't need to be scared yet. It hasn't taken over.
Yet.
For me, I think a big takeaway from 2023, was, I learned a lot more about color mm-hmm. and how it affects your images.
Okay, nice.
So, yeah, I posted a picture recently and people really liked it, but I'm realizing they like the color and the skin tones that I produced in the picture.
So this was your Instagram you posted or your website?
Yeah, so it was a close-up photo of a dark-skinned model. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think it's the way I color treated it mm-hmm. that made it, color graded it was the word I was looking for. The way I color graded the picture,
oh, okay.
I think it gave it, a different feel.
Yeah.
The one with the, still looking natural, but not, not your typical, I'm just going to rely on the technology of the camera and shoot it. Mm-hmm. And that's why I always laugh when people talk about the colors of certain cameras yeah. and camera companies and this company's more yellow and this one's more blue and, you know, mm-hmm. it goes on and on and on. But I think a lot of that stuff came from YouTubers, running out of stuff to talk about.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So they'll just talk about these things and, you know, to sum it up, if you shoot raw photos, you can change pretty much any color in the image.
Absolutely.
So, and you can adjust all the colors. Even with a JPEG, it's just not as easy.
Right. Less
so I say the only people who need to, and this isn't even true, but the only people who may have to worry about that are like, sports and paparazzi, who are literally shooting images and uploading them instantly.
Yeah. Or war photographers.
Yeah, but they're not even uploading instantly. they're not. And I think nobody's going to be like, you know, this shot from the Ukraine is a little magenta. what? You know, nobody's worried about that for those type of photos. But I'm like, you know, so. And even if you go in your camera, you can change the color profile.
Yep, absolutely.
And adjust the color. So if you want it to be a little more in the warm tones or the cool tones, you can, it's a simple adjustment. Mm-hmm. So I don't think any of that stuff is true. I think it's clickbait. It's marketing material. It's stuff for people to talk about. Is it real and does it make a difference in your photography? And should you change camera brands? No. Like we had the whole discussion before, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Just practice. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. If you know, like, your pictures come out, a little cooler or a little warmer than you would like them, plan accordingly, mm-hmm. You know, and just make the adjustments. I don't think there's anybody out there that doesn't use a computer after they take their pictures or has to. And it's funny. It's like the people who harp on this the most, mm-hmm. are the amateur photographer.
Yeah, absolutely.
Who probably spends more time editing their pictures, mm-hmm. than anything else. Yeah. So, you know, the fact that, you know, Canon looks like this or Fuji looks like this is highly irrelevant. But, mm-hmm. hey, if you want to continue the barbershop argument, I highly encourage it. You're just wasting your time.
It's like a favorite pastime for these people. You're trying to take that away from them?
No, I'm not. And while you're at it, Sony has come out with a camera that's capable of shooting 120 frames per second. You need that too.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
If you're not shooting 120 frames per second, what are you shooting?
What are you doing? Wasting your life.
You're wasting your time as a photographer. Run out, buy this camera. It's okay to take out a second mortgage. Whatever you need to do. Or third. You know, you're still paying for that Canon you ran out and bought. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I highly encourage it. New gear. 2024, just buy new gear. Yeah. You won't get better, but you'll have new gear. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. This is a nice frame, by the way. Everyone go check out Devon Orange photo on Instagram. This is nice.
Thank you.
So what did you do?
I've gotten more into adjusting the colors, mm-hmm. within the so Adobe, it will be called in Photoshop it's called selective color, mm-hmm. where you can actually go in and adjust. You can actually adjust the colors of all the major colors in the color spectrum, but you can also go in and adjust the colors of the highlights, the midtones, the shadows.
Yeah.
So doing that, it gives the picture a different feel. And I learned that from, I've been looking more at shooting video and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And that's a big part of
how they color grade
cinematography.
Yeah.
Is actually the colors that we're looking at while we're watching the movie that set the mood. Mm-hmm. So you'll notice that some movies are very, have very like, cool tones,
right.
Which kind of give that war, something's about to happen. Mm-hmm. And then they have the other ones that are very warm tones, and that conveys a message. So, and you'll see some movies that are like really green, and you don't notice that they're green until somebody told you it was green.
That's green, yeah.
It's like, oh wow, this is, they really did a thing. So, I think, movies a lot is spent on the actual color, mm-hmm. of the framing and the highlights and the shadows and how the skin tones look. They spend a lot of time on that. So I've just been doing that with my photography, just to get different feels. And I think that's why we like fashion photography, like in magazines like Vogue and Elle and mm-hmm. those pictures usually are color graded, and that's kind of what gives it that look that I felt like I wasn't achieving in my photography. I was always good at lighting. I was good at retouching, getting a clean picture, but something was missing. Mm-hmm. And for me, I think it was the colors, mm. you know, where you can look at the picture and it's, it doesn't look like anybody shot it. It looks like something was looks natural, mm-hmm. but
yeah, very clean,
different.
Yeah,
just different. So a lot of that is just going in and looking at the individual colors and tweaking them. Nice. Because you will realize, and I find this especially with, you know, darker skin tones, that camera and lighting tends to shift it from a natural, the way we see it with our eye. Mm-hmm. So it does tend to add like yellows and greens and those sort of things where you don't find that with, like light and white skin. Mm-hmm. And that's why, a lot of the editing things, I'll warn people, a lot of the editing things you see online, in tutorials, when they're using white and light skin, it doesn't work with dark skin people. Mm-hmm. Like the picture starts to fall apart and your picture looks very, very processed. And, you have to be mindful of those type of things in the skin tones and not looking crazy. And I find that they do that a lot, even in quote unquote professional photography and commercial photography. Mm-hmm. They have a dark skin model. They always end up looking like shiny and silver.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, cool clothes, but this model looks crazy to me.
Yeah.
You know, and there's very few people that, that tend to get it right because they're using the same process they use with light and white skin models, and it just doesn't translate.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. Nice.
So, yeah, and I guess another thing I started doing is just simplifying things, mm-hmm. as far as, you know, lighting and how much gear I'm taking out and just using a small amount of gear, but still trying to be creative with, that gear that I'm using. Mm-hmm. So, and just trying to get a little more creative. Cause I think I'm good at getting a great picture. I'm looking more for, the creative aspect of it. So, you know, even if I do take like, just like a straight on like beauty shot, like I did, mm-hmm. I want to tweak the colors. So it gives it something that's not every day. Mm-hmm. And also, just trying to get a little more creative with like set design.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just, you know, looking at the whole, all right, how can I shoot this? Does it have to be a clean set? Will it just look good in like a messy studio and just shoot everything in the frame? Because I see those pictures and like, you know, where you can see like all the C-stands and the backdrops and other stuff in the picture. And I'm like, hey, that looks great, you know, but I would have like painstakingly made sure that everything was cleaned up on the set, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. out of the way. Don't see any stands or anything, just like a really clean picture. But, you know, just trying to get more creative, from that standpoint and kind of, working the environment that I have. Mm-hmm. Because I see a lot of photographers, they do like cool stuff. Like there'll be a straight on shot, but they'll hold a leaf or a feather in front of the lens. And it just totally changes and gives it a whole different vibe, mm-hmm. you know, and doing unconventional stuff like, shooting close up portraits with a wide angle lens, mm-hmm. you know, just intentionally distorting the image and that sort of thing. Just trying to be more creative.
Yeah.
And, because I think I can do the standards with my eyes closed at this point. And I think, although that's what 90 to 95% of like my clients would want, you know, it gets boring.
Yeah.
You know, as you're going through portfolio and stuff like that, you start to get bored with, you know, the stuff that you're doing. But I will say, and I tell people this all the time, I learned this year too. Well, kind of solidified it. Like sometimes and a lot of times people just want burgers and fries. Like they don't want,
they don't super want creative.
Everything else. They just want a burger. They're like young kids when they go to whatever restaurant, mm-hmm. do you have burgers, fries, chicken fingers, and pizza? Mm-hmm. Yep. and plain pasta. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what the kids want. Give it to the kids. No matter how amazing you tell them this other stuff is, they just want a burger and fries or some chicken fingers, like, and they're ecstatic. Mm-hmm. So I've learned that, a lot of times I was doing too much. Mm. I just need to do burger and fries. So single light setup, straight on portals. That's what the client wants. That's what I give the client, because you'll go to extreme lengths to do this thing that's super creative that you've seen and that you think will be amazing. And they're like, nah, I want the shot that you did for that person that I saw on your website.
Yeah.
Yeah, the burgers and fries picture. Yeah. That's what I want. And so, you know, I've learned to put my ego to the side,
yeah.
and just give people what they want, because ultimately that's what's going to make them happy.
The fries, though, they have to have mayonnaise in there, though. Just saying.
See, this is where you mess up, because you should have just left it plain. Kids don't even want ketchup. They just want burger and fries, no salt, just the plain no burger. Salt. Oh, kids are simple, man. Wow. It's just like, I think they're simple, and then we put our thing on them and make things difficult. You know, just like, oh, you don't need that. And, you know, I watch other photographers work, and I could see them like trying to do too much. Mm-hmm, and it's mm-hmm. just a lot of the stuff is just repeating what you did before, you know?
So 2024, so don't do too much.
Yeah, no, I don't, no mayonnaise. Just simple, man. Just, you know, when you're talking, and, you know, that's the thing, right? You're separating yourself as a photographer mm-hmm. from doing like a photography business.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, with a photography business, you just need repeatable.
Absolutely.
You know, you just have to repeat, the same thing over and over again, mm-hmm. consistently and with quality.
Yep.
That's it. And if you can do that, you'll have a successful business. Mm-hmm. You know, it's, you know, use the fast food example. It's like, yeah, they may introduce for a short time some other type of sandwich or something, but for the most part, the menu is exactly the same mm-hmm. every time you go in there. You're not getting anything different.
True.
You know, you're not, mm-hmm. you're not walking into, McDonald's and like, oh yeah, can I have some roasted turkey? Like, they don't serve it. It's yeah. just burgers and fries. Mm-hmm. We have this chicken sandwich. If that's the only kind of chicken sandwich you can get here,
yep. Yep.
you can take something off. You could put mayonnaise on it, mm-hmm. but that's it. You know, so when it comes to your business, yeah, I think you need to, you know, simplify.
Yeah.
You know, make things simple, keep it simple. And I think, it'll make you happier, because you'll have less to worry about.
True.
You know, and you'll just be producing things that you can easily produce and reproduce. And then it doesn't become, it becomes more enjoyable work, because you're not working as hard.
Right.
You know,
you're not reinventing
so
every
just,
time.
So just something to think about. It's not, you don't have to overcomplicate it. And your clients a lot of times don't look at your images as, crucially as you do.
Yeah.
You know, I had a client choose an out of focus picture and it wasn't out of focus. It just wasn't sharp.
Mm.
And they were like, nope, I like it. I like my pose. I'm like, you sure? It's like, there were other ones that were like, you know, very sharp and tack sharp. And they're like, nope, I like this one. And I'm like, okay, like, you know, but you know, the client's always right. But from my standpoint, I'm like, why would you choose a picture where your eyes aren't tack sharp? Mm-hmm. And they don't care. Mm-hmm. They don't care. Like, if they think they pose correctly or if they like their smile, they don't care if their eyes are tack sharp.
Agreed.
And you know, that's another thing that's overrated. I can go on and on, like, people spending all this time worrying about tack sharpness.
No,
and
I'm 100%. I've been saying that for years. People used to freaking shout me down. I'm sorry. I don't think something has to be tack sharp. I just don't.
You know, a lot of very famous,
right,
iconic, you know, photographs are not tech.
Absolutely
show.
Not.
A lot of them are out of focus.
It's about the feeling. It feels like,
it's about the feeling.
Yeah. Emotions. It's about feelings.
What. Yeah. Yeah. What does it convey when you, absolutely, you look at it?
Absolutely.
So yeah, I think, I'm looking forward to 2024. I definitely want to start shooting more video.
Yeah. You were talking about, I've seen you mention that on, I think, Instagram. Is that what you mentioned?
Yeah. I think it's just a new, like, I'm just want to learn new stuff. Mm-hmm. And I like the creative aspect of shooting video. Mm-hmm.
What's the end goal here? Clients or your YouTube?
YouTube, I think clients eventually.
Okay.
It's another aspect that I think I would like to add to my business.
That would be great. I think yeah, a lot of people want video, honestly, now. And if you can be the one to stop to do it, that would be awesome.
Yeah, I think video, we've all seen it. Like, still images don't attract as much attention as, like, video.
Right.
So, even short video. So, maybe even, like I said, just doing, keeping it simple, even mastering, like, the short video, mm-hmm, you know, and offering that to client. Like, how can you get your message across in 15 seconds, mm-hmm, 30 seconds, you know, just videos that are like for Instagram stories and that sort of thing, just shooting that sort of stuff, mm-hmm, and, figuring out the editing process, I think is, another lane I would just like to go into. You know, in video, like I said, a lot of time it could be fast and simple too, or it could be very intricate. Mm-hmm. You know, but the same, I think it would just give me another aspect to my creativity. Mm-hmm. Cause when you start to look at things,
yeah,
start to shoot video and look at it from a photographer's aspect, mm-hmm, or you start to shoot photography and always looking at it from a video or videographer's aspect.
Yeah.
You know, just something I would like to learn. And I really like, the cinematic look. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
like how movies actually look, yeah, when you watch them,
yeah,
and just learning the aspects, the tips and tricks from that, I think will be cool.
Nice.
You know, cause AI hasn't taken over video yet. So I have to be ahead of the curve.
Yeah. It's better if you learn it before it gets there, because then you know exactly what you'll need from it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when I have to jump ship from photography cause AI took over, I could be a videographer.
Are you watching movies differently now that you're thinking with the
video? I am. I never knew, that they shoot, a lot of times they shoot movies at the same aperture.
Mm.
Through the whole movie.
Okay.
Yeah. So if you ever, and I've noticed it more and more, it's like, some movies, they'll shoot the entire movie at like some wide aperture of like 1.4. So if you're ever watching it, like the scene, like there's always some blurred out, mm-hmm, aspect of the scene. So even if there's two people talking, they both won't be in focus.
And then just rack focus between the two.
Yeah. They use distortion a lot, yeah, in movies.
Right.
If you ever notice, like the frame will bend.
Mm-hmm.
It's very distorted. A lot of, what they harp on, and you watch like tutorials and stuff, there's a lot of camera shake, mm-hmm, in movies. And I think a big aspect of movies is the audio as you're watching it. So, getting like really good audio and, combined with the video, makes us like the movie better.
I would say,
I think that's why we like Star Wars,
yeah, absolutely, and those
type, because it's the sound of it.
It's the sound. I think that's like, just like with a blurry picture, right? You could have a movie that's slightly fuzzy or just completely just jacked up, but with a great audio,
mm-hmm,
you would be perfectly satisfied, right? Unless it's a, yeah, silent movie, then you're like, crap, well, what else do I have to hold on to?
Well, if you're watching a silent movie, you're not looking for much.
No, true. Very true.
Yeah, nah, but I think, yeah, so I'm looking forward to that. It's weird. I tried this year to get back into doing like workshops and that sort of thing, mm-hmm. but I don't know. And then I don't know if it's because we're in the, TikTok quick tutorial, yeah. YouTube age. I don't know how much people want to learn from other people. Mm. You know, I think people want to, but I think it may be not as cool. Mm. So people rather figure it out on their own and just got, I don't know, but I thought, things would be different, but maybe it's just to, and what also thing I do is like, I blame myself for everything. It keeps me from getting upset. Like so me. I blame myself. So if I try to host a workshop, no matter how amazing I think it is and what I'm offering, I mean, I was even offering free stuff this year. Mm. And
like what?
No matter how amazing I think it is, I always blame myself. I'm like, I didn't market it right. Mm. You know, so a big problem I have is that I'm an extroverted introvert. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I can go and I can turn it on and talk to everybody, but my comfort zone is really like sitting by myself and quietly doing my thing. Mm-hmm. I don't need to have anybody see what I do. I don't need any pats on the back.
Yeah,
I'm totally cool just like doing my thing. I could do it by myself all the time. But that is not the way society works now. Mm-hmm. I feel that very much so we go for the popular. It is not even the best. It's just the most popular. So the problem I struggle with is sharing what I'm doing and, being popular. Mm-hmm. You know, because if I was popular and I did something, everybody would come. Mm-hmm. Right. It's because I'm not popular enough that, you know, so I struggle with trying to get popular, you know, because if people who know me, I'm never going to be the loudest person in the room. Mm-hmm. I may laugh the loudest, but I'm not going to be the loudest person in the room ever. Mm-hmm. But I think to generate a following and all that on social media, which brings you business. That's the part I struggle with, and that's what I'm trying to get better at. Is kind of just like, for lack of a better term, putting myself out there and being the loudest in the room and drawing attention to everything that I'm doing. Mm-hmm. You know, I struggle with that because it's just not who I am.
Yeah.
Personally, but I think it's needed, and I'm trying to look at it from a standpoint of, you know, every time I share something with somebody and they're like, oh man, that really helped me, it makes me feel good.
Yes.
You know, and it's just information that I've know that I've acquired over time.
Right.
Another thing, 2024 will be 10 years of the Von Warren photo.
Nice.
So
10 years.
10 years.
Nice. Congrats.
So, thank you. So, and I'm looking at, I also turned 50 next year.
Nice.
So I'm like, wow, I started this at 40 years old. So if that's any motivation that's for anybody motivation. That's like,
that's huge. A lot of people change, need to hear that.
Take a change of pace and kind of pivot.
Yeah.
You're not too old.
Absolutely.
You know, I was 40 years old when I started this company.
Absolutely. Dude, a lot of people, we do want to hear that.
39 going on 40.
Yeah.
You know, so, wow. Yeah, you, it's never too late. You know, you can find something you really like to do and love to do, mm-hmm. and learn how to make it a business for yourself.
Yeah.
So, it's been a journey. I'm going to try to figure out a cool way to celebrate both my 10-year anniversary of my business and the 50th anniversary of my life.
Nice.
You know, I will separate the two because I would like two parties. hey man, I grew up with two brothers and we shared everything. Yeah. I got one third. I either got a half or a third of everything growing up.
Yeah, I know.
So it was either all three of us shared it or I shared it with my brother that's a year older than me.
I know.
So it was always either a half or a third, man. Never got my own stuff.
True.
So I will have two celebrations for,
Nice.
Well, Devon Warren portal and Devon Warren, you know.
Yeah, man. Definitely.
Yeah. So just trying to do more visually and sharing wise, I think, because I always find that people will hit me up and be like, oh man, I saw what you posted, man. That really helped me out. I tried it and it worked, you know?
Yeah.
So just sharing and giving people insight to what I do, and just even people that think like, hey, that's cool. I like to see what you're doing.
Yeah.
You know, I posted a video of me just shooting in the studio and people were like, oh man, that's amazing.
I like that.
I was like, I was sitting there taking a picture. Yeah, but hey.
No, I love that. I love seeing behind the scenes, and especially I love seeing when you see the some people, they do the behind the scenes, they show you no shots. I like when you show
because the shots usually aren't good.
Right.
Or if they show you just the shots and not the behind the scenes, they really retouch them.
Yeah.
You know, but no, I think definitely we'll have the cell phone or a camera rolling to get some footage of a lot of the stuff I do, and maybe just taking video and talking through the process of
what you're doing,
doing what I do, to give people insight. Because like doing this podcast, doing the workshops, talking to any other photographers, I really had a hard time over the past 10 years getting information. You know, there's a lot of bad information out there.
True.
You know, I love YouTube, you know, I call it YouTube University. But you have to learn how to sift through the bad information. Absolutely. There's a lot of bad information, and a lot of it is motivated by getting views and clickbait, and you know, you always see the same guy. It's like 10 reasons I love this thing, 10 reasons I'm getting rid of it and never going back.
Right.
And then it's like, oh no, I made a mistake. You know, it's just clickbait to get you to, and if you follow that stuff, it really leads you down a kind of like a hopeless feeling, because you feel like you need to be doing this.
Right.
And then once you start doing this, they tell you, no, you need to be doing that. And it's just, you have to figure out who you're going to be as an artist, and nobody, and maybe I need to start talking about, nobody really talks about the photography business. And if they do, they talked about it in a very, grandiose, like, yeah, I'm booking X amount of clients a year. Right. Let me show you how.
Right.
And if you buy my program,
right.
You know, so nobody really talks about the ups and downs, the nitty gritty of, you know, being a commercial photographer. You know, and when I say commercial, just doing it professionally.
Right.
As a means of feeding your family. I will say very quickly that, you know, I look at photography as a pyramid, and the bottom of the pyramid is very crowded. And that would be your people who are kind of halfway into it, not very serious, but shoot. There's a lot of people doing that. And that's like I'll come through and shoot your whatever for a few bucks. And there's a lot of people doing that. But as the pricing goes up and the skill level goes up, it's less and less crowded.
Yeah.
You know, some of the jobs I compete for, I may be competing maybe one or maybe two other companies that do what I do.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, so there's still money to be made in photography. Is it as easy as it was 20 years ago? No, because people can do what you're going to come do with their phone, you know, and that's what I tell people. You got to be better than a cell phone.
Yeah.
The bare minimum.
Yeah.
You know, you got to be better than a cell phone. And if you're just going and you're just taking cell phone pictures, you're going to be short-lived, you know? So, you need to know and understand, or taking a better cell phone picture.
Yeah.
But you need to know and understand what's going to separate you from the cell phone.
Yeah.
You know, so it's maybe I need to start talking more on that and stop making it seem like, you know, I think a lot of people go out and talk about their business, but in a very braggadocious, like, yeah, I make X amount of dollars a day. Let me show you how I did this many shoes. And I, you know, it's not like, okay, how do I even get started? You know, what do I need? What's the bare minimum? You know, people don't talk about having insurance.
Yeah.
You know, you could be a photographer, but you know, most commercial venues will not let you in the building if you don't have insurance.
All right.
You know, so it's just like, but I didn't know that.
Because people don't discuss it.
I got insurance because I went to get some papers notarized by a lawyer, and he asked me if I had insurance for my company. And I was like, insurance? And he was like, you know, he was telling me because he was trying to send me down to his friend down the street who was an insurance agent to get him a sale. But, you know, I was like, man, I don't have insurance. And I went online, looked up and found insurance for that was, you know, specifically for photographers. And, you know, it's helped me. You know, I got robbed. I had my gear stolen. I have gear broken, you know, and it's been covered by insurance. And I couldn't imagine if I didn't.
Right.
You know, and, you know, I wouldn't be able to get any job where I have to go into an office building or a reception hall, you know, any venue. I would not be able to get the job.
How long does it take for insurance to turn around, like for them to say, yeah, we covered you? A day?
Same day.
Same day?
Yeah, just like getting auto insurance.
Okay, good. Okay.
Yeah, they, long as you have a legit company, you can do it. For those who are doing things from, you haven't started a company, you're still kind of doing it as a side hustle, some home insurance or renter's insurance allow you to put your gear under
there,
under there. But, I highly suggest if you do have a photography company and you don't have insurance, run out and get it today. Because God forbid, you know, some little kid knocks over your light stand and it falls anywhere in the vicinity of that kid, you may, you're going to get sued, you know? So, and it's the same kind of thing. If you spend, you know, camera gear is expensive and Uncle Joe may be dancing drunk at the wedding and knock your camera out your hand.
Ouch. Yeah.
You know, so it's a lot of things that can happen. You know, and just the acts of nature, floods and fires and car accidents and your stuff was in the trunk. Like all this stuff can, anything can happen. Yeah. So, just like you would insure your car or anything else. I mean, some people don't insure the car, especially in the dirty. riding dirty.
Absolutely.
You know, just the same way you would insure anything you have, you should insure your photography and your photography equipment. And, you know, and I think we talked about this before, but just setting up a business so you separate your personal stuff from your business, because you know things happen. People are not understanding and you may get sued.
Let them go after the business, not you.
They'll go after the business, not you, and you won't, you know, you don't have to worry about your home or your other assets or anything like that. You can, they can sue you, and if you have insurance, you know, your insurance will cover it. You know, and it's not a ton of money, or, you know, I'm talking $2 million worth of coverage, you know, and, you know, some venues require you to have more, and you can just, the cool thing with the way the insurance policy is set up, if a venue says, oh no, you need to have $10 million of insurance, you can just get $10 million of insurance just for that day.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Wow. So you can put $10 million of coverage on it.
You just pay him extra for that day.
Pay the difference, and then you can take it back off the next day. Yeah. So.
Nice.
You know, because they, the insurance company knows you don't need it.
Right, right.
You know, and usually the possibilities of something happening where you need the full $10 million worth of coverage is low. Mm-hmm. And like I said, and even the difference between having $1 million of coverage or $2 million is not that significant in your premium. Mm-hmm. You know, so you can get a lot of coverage, but not a lot of money.
Nice.
You know, and you can have enough coverage to, you know, cover a total loss.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a really good feeling knowing that I could pay my deductible and replace all my gear if I lost it right now. Yeah. So
that's cool. That's really good. You ended up replacing the A7 R3
via. Yeah, they actually, because Sony continues to make all their old products, my insurance company, the way it works is they'll replace it for, they'll replace the same model or the current model. Yeah. But since they still made the A7 R3, uh-huh. I got another A7 R3 instead of getting the A7 R4.
That's funny.
But had Sony been like any other company,
you would have gotten a 4
and stopped making the camera from years ago when they started making the new one, I would have got an A7R 4.
That's funny. But the A7R 3 is a great camera, people. It's a great camera.
No, it is. It is. And I had the A7R 4, and those files. 60 megapixel files are just way too big.
I remember you said, yeah, I'm sending this back. This is ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah, I took it back. It was just like, and I ended up with the A7 IV because I'm like, this is ridiculous. Yeah. And full disclosure, like, there's a whole megapixel war. Mm-hmm. I would say all my clients get a 2,500 pixel image on the long end, and that works for everything they want to use it for.
Mm-hmm. You don't need 61 for that.
You don't need 61 megapixels for that.
Absolutely not.
You know, and I've made huge prints. I've done everything and I haven't, you know, I don't know. At some point we stopped seeing the difference.
Yeah, you do.
So I was just like, you know what? This will do what I needed to do. I don't need,
realistically, you could get by with 12 megapixels, people. Seriously.
You could. Yeah, you could. Absolutely. It's such a, it's just a selling point. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like when cars started putting the 4.5, mm-hmm. 5.0, mm-hmm. 5.6, like the liter engine mm-hmm. thing. It's just like, yeah, it doesn't always equate to how fast it's going to go. It's just a number.
Yeah, just a number.
And to you're show never you. Going to use the speed.
Yeah, to show anyway. Just a number to show you how much money you're going to lose every day.
Yeah, we're still all sitting. You're sitting in traffic just like me. So if you're buying a fast car to sit in traffic.
Beautiful.
You know, it's like buying megapixels to not use them.
Yeah.
You know, there's probably a handful of people that may need it. I'm thinking if you do like landscapes and you sell huge art pieces,
even
that
then,
need
still
like detail, even still, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. I bought one because I got it crazy cheap, but I would have bought, right. I would have just bought an A7 R3. Really, the megapixels on the A7 R3 is really more what I wanted, but I was I was getting it cheaper than the A7 R3. So I'm like, and it's brand new. And I'm like, yeah, I don't know about that. I'm gonna have to buy the 4.
Yeah, I mean the deal you got was hard to turn. Yeah. I remember when you got it. It was like, this is a no brainer. Yeah,
absolutely.
Like I don't know what they had overstock or whatever.
Yeah, they were just like, hey, we're just throwing them out the window. Here you go. Just take one.
Yeah. Yeah. So Sony tends to do that. It's just like their mega sales are mega.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're always hurting when you bought it.
Yeah.
New. It's just like, oh, I paid this amount for this camera. And but it's funny because I think the A7 R3 was the first camera I would drop like significant money on. You know, that was more than because it was over 2,000 when I bought it. Yeah, that was like the first camera. I was like, oh, I got a real camera. So I think it's going to be a interesting year. Mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to try to plan quite a few things and just trying to shoot more. You know, I still have my film photography journey. Mm-hmm. So still, Just try to get out and shoot more and not make excuses.
I'm with you. And, I need to do better.
Yeah. Enjoy it. Yep. Try to walk with a camera more often, because when I do, I find that my everyday kind of snapshots are a lot more interesting. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, I'm realizing, looking back at pictures, we don't remember things the way they happened.
We do not.
We remember them the way we remember them. Oh, yeah.
So, we're horrible.
And the picture puts you back to, okay, now I'm remembering how it happened.
Yep.
And where I was and what it looked like. So
absolutely.
Take lots of pictures, even if it's just on your phone.
And the video, the thing that you're talking about, that's even more of a better history of memory, right? Because you have actually movement and sound, and if you're doing sound, I mean, yeah.
Yeah. I think like the documentary style is really what I'm interested in. Yeah. So yeah, just trying to shoot some stuff and, you know, just documenting. Cause like I said, you don't, and as you get older, you really don't. I have selective memory. Mm-hmm. Like I'm just like, I tell my wife all the time, I can't keep up with celebrity this and that. I only have a few things that I can remember and that's it. You know, your brain has a certain capacity. I can't fill it up with
it's a hard drive, pop culture. Chuck the old stuff out.
You know, I'm about to reform that.
You don't have a...
Start from scratch.
You don't have a storage for offsite.
Yeah. Clean install coming out 2024. Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Any big plans for the new year?
I plan to shoot more. I just want to embrace, using my mobile phone as I have a Ricoh GR4 I walk with every day, but GR3.
I think it's a
three. Yeah, three. Yeah. How do I come up with a four? Because we said Sony R4. the GR3 and the iPhone. Honestly, the iPhone, I need to utilize it more. Like I've been taking pictures with it more often. And the memory feature where it shows, you know, like what you shot like a year ago, it pops up. Like I love that. Mm-hmm. And I think people need to embrace whatever camera they have on them, like, and just use it. This is my plan for 2024 is whatever camera is on me, I use the heck out of it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think one thing, that I gotta go back to is like, you know, when we first started photography, you didn't overthink it. You just shot because you wanted to shoot. I mean, the pictures were terrible, but you know, I just would go out and shoot. But it was so much fun, you know, so I think that's what I need to get back to is just, you know, not overthinking it, not trying to make amazing images, just shooting, you know, what I want to shoot.
Yeah. Yeah. And you were talking about like going through some neighborhoods that don't have the things there anymore, but you shot them like a year or two or three ago.
Yeah.
Like stuff like that. Right. Yeah. You know, like I want to be able to say, snap, this neighborhood was different. And my memory, of course, is never going to be as good as, oh, snap, I did take a picture of this. Let me go look for it.
Right. Yeah, so just documenting and, you know, I think just having those memories of, you know, and that's why I go through the, I'm about to do the, over the next week or so, I'm going to be printing out my 2023 pictures. Yeah. Just so I have an album in, you know, even if it's like redundant of, you know, me and the family at the little restaurant we go to around the corner, like just like those times. And, you know, like I can look at it and like seeing people's faces change and how people look different now and, you know, neighborhoods look different, that sort of thing. So, you know, I think it's worth it. I think, you know, it's something that I need to embrace more and not overthink.
Yeah, I'm with you. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yep. All right, well. Yes,
indeed. So where can people find you for 2024?
I'm a CW Daily Photo or CW Daily on any of the platforms. And you?
I am DevonWarrenPhoto.com and at DevonWarrenPhoto on social media.
Awesome.
Yeah, so until next year.
Until next year.
All right. Ciao.